Lord God Almighty. Praise Jehovah, He's the everlasting King. We praise His name.
Yes.
We praise His name. Lord Jehovah, we praise You.
Hallelujah.
Not the hog pen.
Amen.
Every good thing is in the house.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Everything you need is in the house.
Amen.
Everything you want's in the house.
Yes.
If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God.
That's right.
Father, we thank You, Lord, this day for Your goodness to us. We thank You, Lord, for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray that You'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of Your word this morning. Give us a spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation knowledge and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer that we might be able to operate the ministries, God, that You've given us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen.
All right.
Brother Marty, can I say something?
All right.
Your story about Dorcas and, you know, the grace of God.
Yeah.
As I have a girlfriend, Jean Carroll, that's been in the hospital for 6 weeks. And God showed me she's always done good. She's always done good. And how she's done good works and stuff. And so I left her message this morning that God showed me. You know, we know that we're saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
And then that, and I said, you know, Jean, take comfort in that you've done good works. And because of your good works, the church, I didn't tell her that part, is rallying to pray for her and to intercede for her. And they, because, just like Peter.
Yeah.
Came because.
Yeah, he did.
God's taking care of her, and she's got many years left.
Glory to God.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
That's a good word.
Amen.
That's a good word. That's a good word. All right, I wanna address something that Brother David brought out. 2 Thessalonians. was Joseph Prince teaching that? Is that where you heard that?
Yes.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that that man of sin might be revealed. And the Greek, that's the Greek word apostasia. The Greek word is apostasia. Does that ring a bell with anybody?
Apocalypse.
Apostasy. That's where we get the word apostasy. Yeah. It's from the word apostasia. Apostasy.
Perdition?
No.
Revealed?
No. The falling away.
The falling away is
the word apostasia, from which we get the word apostasy. What is an apostasy? Yeah, it's falling away into false teaching, into heresy. Apostasy is falling away into heresy. We know what that means. There's no problem with that. Brother Stone teaches it that way, that this is the rapture. Not a falling away, but a going up. And Bob Yanion teaches it that way, that it's not a falling away, but a going up. Rick Renner says, no. It means exactly what it says. It's an apostasy. It means that there's going to be a great apostasy. Just what it says. And he points out in various places in old classical Greek where that word means exactly that. And even in the New Testament, in other places, that Greek word appears where it's talking about going into heresy. There is no place where it talks about a departure, like, you know, going up. You see the rapture in verse 7, where the restrainer is taken out of the way.
Yes.
There's where the rapture is. The rapture is in verse 7, not in verse 3. Verse 3 is an apostasy. It's a falling away into heresy. And you really can't fall away into heresy unless you've known the truth in the first place. You really need to have been in the truth in the first place in order to fall away into false doctrine and heresy. Because if you never knew the truth, it's not really an apostasy. But anyhow, the rapture's in here, but it's in verse 7. It's not verse, you don't need it twice. That's a double negative. I mean, you don't need it in there twice. And you don't have it in there twice. You have the rapture in here once, and you have the falling away in here once. It's not that, this is not difficult stuff.
And the falling away is first.
The falling away comes first. Yeah, the falling away comes first. You know, I mean, it's just what it says.
I'll tell you what y'all need to do. Return in September.
Yeah.
Revelation. But
that's right.
Today is
the what?
We're going into Acts.
We're going back to Cornelius.
You said verse 7. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The rapture's in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, only he who now hinders, or he who now letteth will let, until he who now letteth, in other words, he who now hinders, is taken out of the way. We're hindering right now, the church and the Holy Spirit are hindering the mystery of iniquity from coming to the full. Can't come to the full while the church and the gospel are here being preached. And while, you know, and while people are being born again, that's...
And while we're in the book of Acts.
And while we're in the book of Acts.
That's where the church is now.
We are in the book of Acts. The church is in the book of Acts. You're absolutely right. We are in the book of Acts. All right. Let's see. Where in the world was I? Okay, I was in chapter 10.
Because I'm going to tell you, Brahmani is an end time man.
You don't have to do much to get me into that area. Now. Just a little encourage, just a little bump right there, you know, will get me over into that. And I can't help myself hardly. I gotta go. All right. Chapter 10, and we were talking about Tabitha and Cornelius. Two tremendous accounts in the scripture here, back to back. Now let's look at chapter 10 again, and I did read the whole chapter 10 last time I was here.
You did.
But I really want to focus on, right now I want to focus again on the first few verses of that chapter. This certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, he was a Gentile, right? Everybody knows he was a Gentile. This was the opening of the door, the so-called opening of the door to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Now, it says here that he was a devout man that feared God, but he wasn't a Christian. And he prayed and gave much alms to the people. And he's got an angelic visitation. And the angel said to him in verse 4, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial unto before God." I just want us to think about that for a minute. For a memorial, thy prayers and thy alms, in other words, the good works that you have done, have come up to before God as a memorial. In other words, what you've been doing has got the attention of God.
Amen. Now that's a good way of putting it.
He got the attention of God.
How good.
Now, why do you suppose that this last line, this last phrase is in the Bible? Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Why is that in the Bible? Why do we need that? Why do we need to know that? You know, the Lord looked down through the ages and he knew that in the last days there would be people going around telling us that there's absolutely nothing we can do to get God's attention. And that's what this grace business is. It teaches you that there's nothing, absolutely nothing you can do to get God's attention. Nothing. You can't do anything good and you can't do anything bad that changes God in any kind of way. Well, that's not what the scripture says here. Because he wasn't saved. Now you know and I know that I've known of people who weren't saved and they started paying tithes. Their tithes didn't save them. But you know what happened? Conviction came on them.
Yes, it's in their heart.
And they got saved. As a matter of fact, everybody that I know of, every unsaved person that I ever knew that started paying tithes, it wasn't very long until that person got saved. What were they doing? They got the attention of God. It was a memorial. And it opened a door. It opened a doorway. It opened a window of access. Now I don't know exactly how this works, but we see an example of it right here. Now this right here gives all these greasy grace people heartburn, I'm telling you. This gives them heartburn. How do you explain this? Because Cornelius was doing something that got the attention of God.
They tear down the Bible, what they do.
Well, they essentially do. They have to. They have to take it out and ignore it, or else they have to try to explain it away and redefine all the words and all that. You know, that's a good trick. You know, just redefine all the words, retranslate all the words.
But faith always gets God's attention, don't it?
Yeah. That's right. Now it always does. And I was reading one of these grace books this week where it says in there flat out that faith does not move God.
What?
Faith does not move God. That's word for word.
Oh man.
I can bring it and I can show it to you in black and white where it says that faith does not move God. That's one of these greasy grace things.
Well, without faith, it's impossible.
You can't please God without you. What do you get from God without faith? Zippo. Zeroness. Nothingness.
Yeah.
Okay? But anyway, so Brother David asked me a good question last time, right after class. He said, okay, there was a memorial, but if he had died before Peter came and preached to him, would he have gotten a reward? What do you think about that?
I don't think God would have allowed that to happen.
I don't think God would have allowed that to happen.
He didn't allow it to happen.
No.
He didn't allow it to happen, and I don't believe he would have allowed it to happen.
No.
Because God was putting in
that is true.
For what he was doing.
That's correct. Now let's assume, you know, theoretically that did happen. He would. What happens if you die and you're unsaved, if you're not born again? What happens?
You go to hell.
You go to hell.
Don't you think, Brother Monty, God, according to Romans, God puts a knowing that there's a God in every person, so they're without excuse.
They're without excuse.
They're without excuse.
They are without excuse.
There's a knowing there.
That's right.
And as you yield to that knowing, like
that's true.
Praying,
yeah.
Giving alms,
yeah.
It sets your course on God.
It does.
Not Satan. And since your course is set on God, you're going to get born again usually, because that's what your homing device is doing. There is a God. And I know, but you might not be born again yet.
Yeah.
But they're without excuse. And also, as they start looking for God and wanting God, they're going to find him. And they're going to start looking around.
That's right. There's a couple of proverbs like that. It says, a man devises his way in his heart, mm-hmm. but the Lord directs his steps.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you set your course. Mm-hmm. You think you set your course for heaven.
Yes.
And the Lord will direct your steps.
That's exactly right.
But you need.
Won't make you go there.
No, that's right. But you need to set your course. You need to decide, I want to go to heaven.
Yes.
I want God. And the Lord will lead you in that direction.
And since he was praying.
Yeah, he was.
He was setting his course.
He surely did. That's exactly right. You set your course. That's your strategy right there. Your strategy is you want to go to heaven. The tactics of how you get there are up to God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you set the strategy, your big picture.
You can do all the good works and all the prayers if you don't accept Jesus.
That's right. It won't be. And it won't, as a matter of fact, you know, if you theoretically died without accepting Christ, it wouldn't do you any good, because you're going to be in hell. So what, you know. So you got to be born again. You must be born again. You absolutely have to be born again. But this is the thing. You set your strategy. You set the direction you want to go, and the Lord will direct your steps day by day and help you to get there. Because you know that's the tactics is his part. You know, the day by day things. You know how you know. You know, the things that happen to you day by day, this God does these things.
You know, there's still people out there, though, that are doing good works and stuff, but yet they reject the gospel.
Well, if they're...
That's a different group there.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're...
They're not doing it in search of God.
No, they're not doing it in search of
Christ.
They're doing it to avoid God.
Yes.
Search for Satan.
A lot of times they're doing it to get out of. They're doing it to avoid God because they don't want to accept Christ. And they know they need to accept Christ, but they think, well, I'm going to do this instead.
Good works getting them into heaven.
For money, it's like Jesus told his disciples. When they looked out, they didn't see anything. But he said, look out on the harvest. It's already ripe. Mm-hmm. It don't need 4 more months. You said 4 more months. It don't need. It's people are waiting. People are sitting out there waiting for somebody to come tell them about Jesus. They're praying. They're asking, Lord, if you're real, show me something. Lord, if you're... They're on ready. They're waiting just for somebody.
Because there's a homing device in every human being that doesn't know God.
They're waiting on somebody to come by there and just tell them something about it.
I'd like to know, yeah.
And some people just hear from the... my mama got saved from TV.
Oh, yeah.
She said, I've been crying out. She said, I've been going to the Memphis church and then saying, God, it got to be more.
Yeah.
And my dudes. And,
yeah.
She said she cried for a long time and told God, it got to be more. It got to be more, you know. And Oral Roberts came on TV. And he ain't never... I used to sit and watch. I was my only mom child that used to sit and watch Oral Roberts. The rest of them thought, we got to wait till our show. You didn't have many shows when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And they had to wait for the other show to come on. We have to sit for Laura Roberts. And my mama wasn't even saved. I wasn't saved. But I just loved Laura Roberts, the way he would just, I just enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
And that one day, he said, I'm going to, lead people to Jesus. And I said, oh, that's strange. And my mama repeated the prayer. Because he always was concerned about be healed. But this one time he said, I'm, about souls today. And I thought, that's different. I want to hear some be healed. And that's how she got saved. She had a journey because she had nobody to teach her about salvation. But God did. He kept sending people in her pathway because she hungered and thirsted after righteousness. Mm. Anytime you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're going to be filled.
If you want to truly know God, no matter where you're at, He will reveal Himself.
You could be in the jungle.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true, and it's happened.
We don't have nobody to send.
That is happening, and that's happening.
Exactly. Jesus would visit them.
Wow. Yeah. Cornelius got a visit from an angel.
Tell them where to go.
Then Peter had to get a visit from an angel or get a vision before he'd go.
That's why the Bible says they are without excuse. Right. You can walk out that door and the gospel's preached.
The Lord was working on both ends.
Yeah.
He was working on both
ends. In their mosque to this day where the gospel is not being preached, Jesus shows up and tells them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And it freaks them slam out all over the world because of that. Jesus, everybody's going to be without excuse.
They're without excuse. That's true.
That
all right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give some time back to Brother Thurston this time. Praise God.
Just blow your tongue.